Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the charlet from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Please read along with me the catechetical review found in your bulletin on confession. How Christians should be taught to confess. What is confession? First, we confess our sins. And second, we receive absolution. That is, forgiveness from pastor as for God himself. Not doubting, but firmly believing that by and our sins forgiven before God in heaven. What sin should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those who are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. Which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? The epistle reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at that, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when they accused him by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave them no answer, not a single charge so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And then there was a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor said to them, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They said to him, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him. And he took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, that means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. And when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." The two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after their resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were there with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found in the back cover of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and I would invite all of our children to please join me. Let's go right here in the middle. Let's stand around the baptismal font today. Good morning. Do you know what Sunday it is? Yeah, it's pretty easy to tell today, isn't it? This is the Sunday when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem, and the crowds were standing there with palms that they took off the trees. And what were they doing? Yeah, they were waving them back and forth, and all the time they were waving them, what were they shouting? Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Do you know what Hosanna means? It's really an important word. It means save us. Or save us now. It comes right out of Psalm 118. So when Jesus was coming in, they were reading God's word back to Jesus, and they were waving their palms, and what were they shouting? Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God promises us that he's going to send us someone who would save us. Do you know what we need to be saved from? If you were playing ball and the ball bounced away from you and it ran out in the street and you just ran out after it and there's a car coming, do you need to be saved? You might need somebody to grab you so the car doesn't hit you, right? Well, we need to be saved from a lot of things. Can you think of things that we need to be saved from that God would send us a Savior? What do we need to be saved from? Have any of you ever eye-rolled or rolled your eyes when mom or dad told you to do something? Do you know that's a sin? That's a fourth commandment sin, not honoring mom or dad. Have you ever said something really bad about somebody? Maybe didn't like them and you said mean things about them? That's a commandment too, a fifth commandment or an eighth commandment sin. Have you ever not wanted to go to church? It was so comfortable laying in bed sleeping, you just wanted to keep sleeping? That's a first commandment issue. And we could go through all of the commandments, and you know what we would see? We would see we need to be rescued. We would see we need a Savior. Because all of these things we've talked about, all of these things are sins, and Satan would use them to pull us away from the hope and the promise that we have in Jesus. So God promised all the way back in the beginning, in Genesis, that he was going to send Hosanna. He was going to send our Lord to save us. And do you know how Jesus saved us? This part of the story I know you know. Look right there. How did God save us? Yeah, he sent Jesus into our world. He sent Jesus in, and Jesus would be our Hosanna. Jesus would be the one who saves us by dying on the cross, and then what would he do after that? Is it all over on Good Friday when Jesus died? No, where's the rest of the story? 3 days later, which would be, he rose again. He didn't stay dead. He showed us that he has rescued us from everything that would take our life. And he continues to rescue us. Do you know how he does that? He uses really physical things, kind of like palms. He uses really physical things to rescue us. You see down in the middle here, what's in here? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God uses baptism to rescue us, and that connects us to the cross. Just a little bit ago, we took God's word and we read it from right in the middle of all of the people in the congregation, right from the center. And God uses his word preached into our ears to rescue us. And then a little bit later in the service, under that white cloth right there, there's Jesus. There's the real Jesus, the one that rose from the dead in, with, and under the bread and wine for you, for your forgiveness. You see, Jesus rescued us 2,000 years ago on the cross, and he continues to remind us of that rescuing in water and his word and in the holy sacraments that he gives to us. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for rescuing us. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Thank you for coming up here today. And we continue with our next hymn. You can keep those. Jesus. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for the great hope and the promise and the rescue you have given to us through your life, your death, and your glorious resurrection. Father, strengthen us now in the preaching of your word that we might see and know and hope our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. How quickly things change. A year ago, you were all sitting in your house, and we were live streaming Easter because we had no idea what this virus would mean. A year later, a short year later, and here we are, gathered in God's house, palm branches in hand, remembering our Savior has begun this great work. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! How quickly things change. 1 minute, the crowds in Jerusalem were gathered. They were shouting. They were singing. They were waving palm branches, saying, Hosanna, Lord, save us, quoting back to Jesus, Psalm 118. A great day as Jesus entered. And in a matter of hours, they'd be shouting again. But now the shouting would be different. Crucify, crucify. Give us Barabbas. Let his blood be upon us. How quickly things change. I remember growing up that Palm Sunday was Palm Sunday all the way through. We celebrated Palm Sunday. The lessons were Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and that was the focus of the day. Now we refer today still as Palm Sunday, but also as Passion Sunday. The gospel reading for today is painful. It puts us right in front of Jesus. The beatings, the mocking, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, God's own Son, our own dear Savior. There's a very good reason for the change from Palm Sunday to Passion Sunday. We don't like to suffer. But more importantly, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to be confronted with our sin. We don't want to be reminded of what the free and full forgiveness of Christ costs us. We want to jump right from Palm Sunday and Hosannas into Easter Sunday, and Christ is risen. We want to see all of the cheering crowds on Palm Sunday and all of the people celebrating on Easter Sunday. We want Easter egg hunts and Easter bunnies and the fact that we're all Christian and it's all good and there's been no suffering, no cross. More importantly, no inward look at the fact that Jesus died for you, for your sin, to show you his great love for you. We don't want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with Jesus. We would much rather just look at suffering from a distance, from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, and leave all of the rest behind. When we do that, if we do that, we'll come up with two conclusions usually. We'll either come to the conclusion that our sins really aren't that bad, that it isn't anything to get concerned about, and Jesus was just a wimp, just a pansy that couldn't get out of the situation he was in. Or we'll see this amazing love that God has for you. We'll see the depth of Jesus' love for you as he continued to walk through all of the events of Holy Week for one single purpose: to love you, to forgive you all of your sins, so that you would never suffer as he suffered. When Jesus was accused of blasphemy by the chief priests and the elders, he remained silent. When Pilate reminded him of the charges and the death sentence that was there and awaiting him, Jesus said nothing. Was Jesus just a wimp? Was he unable to deal with the conflict? Was he just cowering in fear? Or was there another reason for his silence? Jesus was completely innocent of every single charge they brought against him. He could have sent down angels from heaven that would have testified, "This is the Holy Son of God," like the Holy Spirit did when he was baptized. He could have called down legions of angels that would have taken care of the palace guards, that would have taken care of the Romans, and Jesus could have walked out of the city untouched. But he didn't. Jesus was silent before his accusers. So your accuser would be silent before you. Every time the evil one will try to accuse you of your sins, Jesus stands between you and the accusations doing this. Nope, nope, you can't. I paid for that sin. Satan continues to try. Remember when you said those hateful things about your spouse, and Jesus stands between him and you and says, "No, you can't. I paid for that sin." Satan continues through guilt and fear to try to crawl into our heads and say, "Oh yeah, but remember when you got drunk and caused all of that?" And Jesus stands between him and you with the cross, with his death. And he says, "No, Satan, you have no right to accuse these that I've died for. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." We might think it's a terrible injustice that the crowds chose to free Barabbas, a sinner, one accused of insurrection and murder. But what we really don't want to see is the fact that we are Barabbas. Insurrection. We continue to rail against every authority that governs over us, from our parents to our local to our state to our national government. Insurrection and murder. We despise God's word, all of us. It's easier to stay in bed, honestly. You know that. We don't want to be in church, always. We despise God's word. If it fits into our schedule, we'll go. If it works into the things that I'm doing, I'll go. Or maybe once a month, or at least Christmas and Easter. That should be enough. We are Barabbas. It was not the will of the paid flash mob that set Barabbas free. It was Jesus. It was Jesus as he was there when he was freed from his shackles. Barabbas ran, and I'm sure he bragged about how he had missed it, how he had escaped death once again. But Jesus set Barabbas free for a very important reason, so that he could love him, so that Jesus could die on the cross for Barabbas and the Barabbas in all of us. Free from sin, free from devil, free from eternal death, all because Jesus loves Barabbas and us and you. Two thieves there that day, and if we had to pick, we would naturally pick that we are the repentant thief. The thief that said to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. What we don't want to admit is we're the other thief as well. We don't want to suffer. We don't want punishment. We want to call out to Jesus when we're in trouble. We want him to rescue us, to fly into our suffering and fix it and take us out of our grief. In fact, we demand it of him. You see, when I have things under control and you do too, Jesus is just a polite interruption into our life of leisure and ease. And when I'm suffering and Jesus doesn't act as quickly as I demand, he's a poser, he's an imposter, a savior who doesn't care about my suffering at all. Even when I see Jesus as inadequate or uncaring, that does not change what he came to do. Both thieves on the cross were forgiven by Jesus. Both thieves on the cross received the very gift of love that he died to give to them. Jesus' gift of salvation to us is not determined by what we think, by what we know, by what we feel, by what we understand. The gift of forgiveness that was given, the gift of love that was given to you by Jesus, was completely determined by his love for you. That he would do all of the things of this week willingly and lovingly, because he loved his Father, and he loved that his Father loves us, and Jesus would stand in the way of our sins. The events that unfolded this week in the Passion of Jesus forgave everyone. They forgave Barabbas. They forgave the bribed flash mob that accused Jesus. They forgave Pilate and the governor. And don't forget, the events of this week forgave you. All your sins. If we show up at Easter and we pay no attention to the events that happened in the midst of this week, Monday, Thursday, where our Lord gives a new covenant, and he takes the old promise of the Passover and he makes it new, and he says, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Or the events of Good Friday, where our Lord willingly cries out from the cross, it is finished. Your sin, your condemnation, your death, all finished by Jesus on the cross. If we skip over all of that and we go from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, then we really aren't considering the great enormity of our sins, the cost of our sins upon our Jesus. It's too easy to go from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday without looking at the suffering. It's too easy to be comfortable. It's too easy and comfortable for us to go from one joyous celebration to the other. Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. Jesus is risen, you're all Christians, you're all fine, life is good, just keep going. Passion Sunday does not let us off the hook. Passion Sunday slows us down. For the first time in quite some time, if the mirror of the law is shining directly at you, and you're seeing your sins clearer now than you ever had, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And I hope as you look at your sins, they take your breath away. I hope the reality of your sins make you squirm under the sentence of death. I hope that for all of us, so that we will see the events of this week for what they are. The events of this week are Jesus saying to you, I know your sin. I know how helpless and how hopeless you are. Let me take that from you. Let me die for you. Let me suffer for you. Let me die and take all of the condemnation upon you, upon myself, and pay for that completely. Let me do for you what you could never do for yourself. Let me love you. Let me completely and totally forgive you. And our response to that is this: Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, save us. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.